Thank you. Welcome back. Tuesday afternoon, the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee held a hearing on the fertilizer price problem. The problem is supply and price. One of those testifying, South Dakota Corn Growers President Trent Kubik, Hamel, South Dakota.
I farm in an area of the country where weather varies much more than normal, and more often than not, we are threatened by lack of rainfall. Due to this, we try and limit the amount of fertilizer we purchase and apply at the start of the year to determine if we need more while the crop is growing, which in turn does not allow us to early book and or prepay all of our fertilizer needs. In the first few months of this year, we were not in a position to book or prepay for any fertilizer, so we expected our costs were going to be higher than normal as we would be purchasing closer to peak demand season. But now we are left with costs nearly doubling. This leads me to ask, what is causing fertilizer to increase in price? Despite the cost of natural gas in the U.S. being relatively cheaper than any fertilizer-producing area in the world, the price of nitrogen fertilizer in the U.S. has continued to rise in concert with prices in areas with higher-costing natural gas. A resulting rise in margins for U.S. manufacturers should, in theory, encourage expansion of production and higher capacity utilization for the industry. Instead, market power has allowed manufacturers to maintain higher prices at the expense of the U.S. farmer. In fact, last week, a Bloomberg article showed the recent earning reports indicate record profits for fertilizer companies. When my input price goes up, my profit margin shrinks. And I'll be frank, it's unclear to corn farmers in South Dakota how the opposite is possible for the fertilizer industry. What I do now is that profit increase illustrates an industry that does not have to increase my fertilizer prices, but can do so. In my written testimony, I also included analysis that indicated the use of market power to directly impact fertilizer pricing. An analysis conducted in 2024 illustrated the producer price index measuring the change in price of goods sold, both for corn and nitrogen, indicating that nitrogen fertilizer prices nearly precisely tracked increases in corn prices. What is the structure of this marketplace? Over the past 40 years, fewer and fewer fertilizer firms serve the U.S. farmer, due in no small part to industry mergers. By almost any measure, these are highly concentrated markets. In addition, large manufacturers appear to have developed and to own distribution networks. For instance, Nutrien operates the largest direct-to-grower distribution network with distribution points and retail locations. But unfortunately, there is little publicly available information regarding distributors and wholesalers. It is important to note that vertical integration has not led to the efficiency gains passed down to growers and consumers. Instead, our experience is that the integration has resulted in the largest fertilizer companies locking up and leveraging distribution channels, entrenching their dominant position, and extracting excessive profits from farmers and consumers. Market power allows even the simple act of selling products to be turned against the farmer. For instance, it is my understanding that the fertilizer manufacturers are able to park barges of product and hold on to inventory. In addition, under a scenario where there are only two market participants, the first market participant could set the price for a barge of fertilizer, with the second following at that price. It is easy to see how this might occur. We also need the ability of manufacturers to exert pressure downstream on wholesalers and retailers to be mitigated. As I've already mentioned, there's not significant amounts of information available to the public about wholesalers. I have heard credible reports of practices that undoubtedly could affect farmers, such as the delay in availability of fertilizer booked by a retailer, but it is difficult to assess what is really happening due to the opaque nature of parts of that supply chain. Two key pieces of legislation would be helpful to begin to provide the type of data needed to assess the use of market output control. The Fertilizer Transparency Act of 2026 would increase the data available to help improve market signals by providing public access to meaningful pricing data and give farmers a tool to help plan for these costs. Ultimately, this legislation will make the market for key farm inputs more transparent and therefore represent a step toward making the market more competitive. It also may help provide data not an analysis of whether market control has been used to limit the supply of fertilizer. We greatly appreciate South Dakota Senator John Thune and Ranking Member Klobuchar for introducing this much-needed step towards market transparency. In addition, the Fertilizer Research Act authorizes a study on fertilizer competition, trends, and pricing. This bill also increases transparency and would provide a much-needed information to better assess the marketplace, including key data such as sectors' capacity utilization rates. And we thank Senate Judiciary Chair Chuck Grassley and Senator Tammy Baldwin for introducing this bill. Simply put, farmers need more competition in this marketplace. We thank the U.S. Department of Ag Deputy Secretary Stephen Vaden for his significant interest in this area and call upon the federal agencies that signed the September 2025 Memorandum of Understanding to take meaningful steps towards solutions to concentration in this subsector. Federal antitrust laws exist for precisely this reason, to promote and sustain competition, the lifeblood of our economy. Increased competition for more participants in the fertilizer manufacturing space is the only thing that can deliver meaningful and durable price relief.
The testimony yesterday to the U.S. Senate Agriculture Committee by Trent Kubik, president of the South Dakota Corn Growers. This is Inside Agriculture. I'll be right back.